Hey, I'm Ashley Knight.
And I'm Megan Jackson. Welcome to Messy Masterpieces,
where the houses are messy, and so are our lives, but we're still His masterpieces
and works in progress.
Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen, I hear you whisper under.
Hey, everybody, it's us again, as promised.
We're back.
Slightly
we're
late.
Back.
Oh my God,
late. Yeah, it's my fault. Blame me. You know, I hadn't even had supper yet.
Well, that's because your pocketbook decided to sprout legs and disappear.
Yeah, but we found it. We're good. I was actually like, I had a little bit of time to make sure that I could get back to the, get back here and be on at 8. So we had a churchyard sale going on and I was like, man, I need that chicken, this little like ceramic, like big chicken. And so I had to have the chicken. So yeah.
Chickens are important.
They are. It was a good chicken. I can put it on my bar in the at the house, you know. So I was like, yeah, I gotta have that. So, you know, what's something positive? Because my evening's been crazy. What's something positive with you tonight?
We had Thanksgiving dinner at church. Ham, turkey, mac and cheese, green beans, pumpkin spice cupcakes, and banana pudding and sweet tea.
Wow.
We have this amazing crew of ladies who cook for us every Wednesday night. All you do is sign up and throw some money in the little bowl.
Wow.
Sure beats me doing it. Because we already talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, well, how was the chili beans?
They were good.
You just can't admit it.
No, no, no. And he listened to the podcast at work today. And he was like, I noticed there are no chili beans in the kitchen. So I guess mine really were better. And I was like, I was at church.
Love it. I love it. Well, it's been a crazy day for me. Like, I had to work. I had to go back to Facebook. I had to go back and do a paint class with Facebook, and which is really cool. If you've never get the chance to go to like the Facebook data center in Forest City, it's super cool. Like when I grow up, I want to work for Facebook because it's really cool. Like their employees got the hookup. I'll just say that. It's cool. So I got to hang out with them. They're like, they probably had never have anybody leave there because they have this awesome, just like set up. It's cool. So, and then we had church and now I'm back home, probably eat a bologna sandwich when I get off of here. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I think we did good yesterday. We get in the hang of this podcasting thing, you know.
We are, and it was awesome just to have people text and say, hey, we felt like we were there, or we just felt like we were listening to your conversation and we can't wait for tomorrow night. So here we are.
Yeah, here we are. My husband's like, are you going to do that every day? And I'm like, no, once a week. You're
just
good.
Just say yes to see what he says.
He's like, you are already spastic. Like, what are you trying to do? Add a nut something every day, Ashley? Come on. But yeah. So I'm super excited for our little topic tonight. I'm really, really excited about this. This is showing some grace. You know, I gave it the title Showing Grace When You Want to Punch the Face because I like catchy titles. But
it's true.
It's true. Like, I mean, I've never been in a fight before in my life with another girl. Like, so I'm probably not the person you want to talk about punching somebody in the face, but I'm a lover, not a fighter. So, but the closest thing though, I will say this, closest thing, have you ever been in a fight?
Okay. So I used to babysit sort of this girl who was 3 years younger than me, and she went through a little wild streak and decided she wasn't going to listen to anything I said. And her mother had charged me with taking care of her. So I did drag her around the living room by her hair one time.
Shut up.
She adores me now. Like she was in, you know, all of my life events. But I think at that point I was like, I couldn't control the situation and I knew I was supposed to control the situation and I was in charge. So that's all I could think of to do. So I did it.
Pull some hair.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, closest thing I've ever been to being in a fight was like in seventh grade chorus. I think I pushed this girl's like shoulder because she said something mean or something. And then you like, she really quickly like pulled my hair. That must be what girls do, pull hair. So the chorus teacher only seen like her pulling my hair. So she got in trouble and I didn't. Like I got to keep singing Wizard of Oz tunes in chorus. And then, you know, she got suspended. I think when she came back, we ate lunch together. So, I mean, you know, technically, you know, we showed grace to each other because we probably wanted to beat each other up, but we ate our little square pizza or rectangle pizza the next couple of days together. And I think kids show grace more than adults do most of the time, probably. You know, they're a little bit easier to show grace than us. So that's my fight story. That's it, you know?
Well, that's true. I mean, even when we think about children and we think about the innocence of a child, their innocence and their pure belief in Jesus without question even is better than ours.
Oh yeah. I mean,
they show grace better.
Yeah. I mean, this is just my opinion, but I feel like Christians are like the world's worst at showing grace, because we will hold a grudge for something over years. Like, Pam's grandma stole your grandma's recipe for red velvet cake at the church homecoming, you know, and that was like 30 years ago, but you ain't letting Pam have none of it. You know, you don't like her because of that, you know? So it's like, we just hold grudges for some of the stupidest stuff, I think, sometimes, but yeah.
And
we don't give up. Do what?
I said, and then there are legitimate times when, you know, grace is really, truly hard to show and you don't know how to approach giving it.
Right. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, and it's funny because like this past week, just to give you an example, well, it was actually last week, but we kind of knew we were going to be doing this topic when we talked. And I had somebody text me that I don't really like too much. You know, I can't give out too much information because they'll be like, oh, I know who she's talking about. But, you know, they texted me and wanted something from me. And I'm like, I didn't want to send it to them. Like they needed something from me or they were requesting something. And I ignored the text, you know, and the phone call. And I'm like, I'm not texting them back. You know, I'm not doing it because I don't want to and I don't have to. They don't deserve for me to text them back because of things that they chose to do. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. And honest to goodness, the Holy Spirit for 2 days was like, Ashley, you know, you need to send that text to that person. You know, you need to do this. And I had no peace about it whatsoever. Like I was like talking to Kevin about it. I was talking to my friend about it. I was talking to everybody about it. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. My friends was like, I wouldn't do it, advise you. I wouldn't do it either. I wouldn't do it. And the whole time I had no peace, but then it was like, one day I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. So like after 2 days, I said, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to send it to them. And I had so much peace after that. I didn't even talk about it anymore. I was like, it's over and done. Even though they didn't deserve in my mind for me to do it, I did it anyway. And so it was like a perfect example of what we were going to talk about. I was like, this is just such a good example right there where our flesh gets in the way and we have to override our flesh when we don't want to. And that's when you show grace, is when you override your own opinion, your own thought, your own, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but you just have to override yourself and do what you really know you should do. You know, so, but yeah, that was my experience last week that kind of went along with showing grace when I didn't really want to.
Well, I had a similar experience even the week before that, where I spent a Sunday afternoon just righting some wrongs with people. I wanted it done before the wedding, which was Thursday. And I wound up making a few phone calls and saying, look, I know this and this to be true, but I want you to know that I forgive you. I extend grace, you know, and knowing the things that I knew, that made that very, very hard. But I wanted this life that I'm starting to be fresh and on a clean slate and something that mm-hmm. I didn't bring anything with me into. You know, we even bought a house together and both sold our old ones, so that we were truly starting fresh. And I wanted to extend that grace to a few people that I wanted to punch in the face at times before I started something brand new.
Yeah.
And that was important to me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because so I feel like it's hard to start phone calls is worth it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I think, you know, like, I always like to look at definitions because, you know, not so much the biblical definition, but like just, And I love to study. Like, I didn't like to study when I was in school, but I really like studying the Bible now. Like, I will spend some mornings just like hours just studying something or digging deep into something that if you would have told me 10 or 15 years ago, I'd be doing that. I'd be like, yeah, right. I don't even like to read. But so like, I always look up the definition of things, and like, and you probably are like this being a, you know, from an education background, you're like, oh yeah, got to know the definition. But like, when I looked it up, like what the Webster's dictionary is, like the spontaneous, unmerited gift of divine favor, you know? And I'm like, when that, and that divine favor, of course, you know, comes from God or whatever. And it's that, that's the, but that spontaneous, unmerited gift, that's what Google said, you know? And I'm like,
and unmerited also is parallel with the word undeserved. We are undeserving. Yeah. Sometimes we give grace when other people are undeserving. But if we're called to reflect Christ in any way, even though our mirror is so dirty, then should we not emulate the way he treated people when he walked the earth?
That's right. And I think Christians give Jesus a bad name. I mean, we can talk about the world all we want to, and we can say, oh, look at what they're doing. But at the end of the day, the reason, in my opinion, that a lot, and maybe I'm wrong for saying this, and it probably doesn't sound very nice, but the reason a lot of people don't go to church is because of Christians. Like, that's why they're not in church. And it's not the world, you know, it's believers who sit on a pew every Sunday morning and claim to be, you know, they live out this life of, oh, I love Jesus, but they don't walk it, they don't talk it, and they definitely don't act like it in daily life. I mean, if they wouldn't know grace if it punched them in the face, you know, no pun intended, you know. But I mean, and I think that's why we see so many people that when you actually do show them grace, they don't know how to take it. Like, you know, I mean, you think about when somebody like says something bad about you, or you know, you hear something and you're thinking, oh gosh, I can't be nice to her because I know what she said about me, or I can't do this because I know how they feel about me. But you know, my thing is I'm like, I just walk up and be like, your hair looks pretty today, you know, or you know, I'm not going to call you out on Facebook when I really want to just tell everybody everything that you've done to me, you know. And you just say, you know what, I'm going to zip it, lock it, and put it in my pocket. And I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. Because sometimes silence is the best grace, I think, that you can give somebody sometimes. But
well, it is, especially when you know things or you feel a certain way about someone and you want to spew it all. It is, you're right, silence is the best. And the thing we were talking about with Christians and how they're the worst, you know, the thing we have to remember, and I even told you I definitely wanted to reference this tonight, was that when Jesus walked the earth, he was magnetized to people who wouldn't be your church people. He was literally there for them. And I kept circling back to John 8. It's the very first part of chapter 8, where, you know, the Pharisees have this woman and she's an adulteress and they're throwing her out in the street and they're wanting to stone her. And Jesus says, you know, all right, but you know, if you're without sin, then go ahead, throw the stone. And they're all like, okay, well, I guess we're not. And in that moment, today I literally sat there after hearing this story, I don't know how many times at church, and put myself in the woman's shoes and thought, wonder what she thought about Jesus doing that for her. You know, what did she think? How did she feel? You know, what was her moment of, oh my goodness, like I so thought he would let them do this to me. And here I am, my life is spared.
Yeah.
And that's what showing grace is. That's what we as Christians are called to do. And it is the hard stuff.
It is. Yeah. It's the heart. And I mean, what we forget, I think, is when you become a Christian, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, a believer, or you're walking with Christ. And I feel like we have this thing that we forget that we've all sinned and we've all fell short. None of us are perfect. That's what scripture says. So, you know, it's just, we've got to get in the mindset of when we are believers, it's a daily relationship that, you know, is renewing. We're dying to ourselves every day. And that's the hard part, is dying to yourself, because we're selfish. Like, you know, I'm selfish. Like, you know, I mean, tonight I'm thinking like, man, my pocketbook got missing at church, couldn't find it. I knew nobody at church took it, but I could not for the life of me figure out where it was. Sent my husband back to the classroom to look for it. He didn't see it. Then go back again. Somebody else finds it in the classroom. Easily, I could have been like, dude, really, you suck. You know, I can't believe you couldn't find my pocketbook, you know, but it's like, at the end of the day, it wasn't a big deal. We found it, move on. But I think it's so easy to forget that, you know, we like to be selfish, and we like it to be about us. And when in turn, really, it's not about us. It's about him. And we forget that.
Do you remember praying when you were little? I remember when I was little, my mom always said the Lord's Prayer with me, and I had it memorized, but I didn't understand what the words meant. And today, the thing that kept playing over and over in my mind is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Mm-hmm.
And as a child, you recite it. You don't understand what it means. But as an adult, that literally means, okay, God, I'm asking for forgiveness of my sins, but I know that you also require me to forgive others and to show grace.
Yep.
And I replayed that line over and over in my head, and I'm like, goodness, how many times have I prayed that prayer? I mean, every night that I was little until I learned how to have a conversation with Jesus through prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's what I prayed. And now I understand its meaning. Like, I literally need to think about how I'm being forgiven. And some, you know, that has to break God's heart sometimes, the things we do.
Right.
He still continuously forgives us for. He drops it into the sea, into the depths where it never resurfaces. And he's asking us as Christians to do the same thing for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that is enormously difficult.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking about the sea. I mean, think about like Jonah, who, you know, he became mad. You know, he's a guy that's in the belly of a fish, you know, a prophet of God. And he gets angry when God shows grace to Israel's enemies, the Ninevites, you know, he's like, and withheld judgment from them, you know, and when they repented of their sin, you know, Jonah gets mad and he's like, you know, I know you're gracious and you're a compassionate God, but, you know, what are you doing? You know, and it's contradictory because, you know, Jonah personally enjoyed God's grace, you know, I mean, and then here he is getting mad because God showed grace to somebody else, you know, and I think that you talked about see, it just made me popping into my head. And I'm thinking, you know, how often do we go, oh, thank you, Lord, for showing me grace, but I ain't showing them no grace. I'm not giving him nothing.
That's that. Those church people you were talking about, it's Jonah thought he was a good man who just ran from a task God gave him. The Ninevites were running rampant. Right. So he thought that his sin was less than theirs. And so he couldn't understand why God spared them.
And the thing that I like too is that when I studied Jonah, the man, you know, I mean, he refused to show grace to other people. And the Lord in Matthew called him wicked. And I'm like, ouch, that hurts. You know, I mean, I don't want to stand before God and him be like, Ashley, man, you are so wicked, you know, because you refuse to show grace when I've showed you grace so many times that, you know, and it's hard. It is. I mean, I always come from the avenue of love. And I feel like you catch more, you know, you've heard it. You catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. And I've always tried to come from the standpoint of, you know, love and grace covers so many things, and it's hard and it's tough and it doesn't feel good. And you probably aren't going to feel good in the beginning when you show grace, because to somebody that you know either you feel like doesn't deserve it, or really honestly, you know doesn't deserve it. It may not even come from a thought of you think. It could be that you just know they don't. But at the end, I think you can sit back and go, I have peace. And that's kind of the way I was, because the Holy Spirit is not going to let you just, he's going to bug the crap out of you, for lack of a better word, until you are like, okay, I got to do something, you know? So I can't just sit here and be like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be nice when I want to say something really ugly to them, you know? So it's a daily struggle, I think, that we all face, but it's just, I don't know. It's like a tough subject. I think nobody wants to talk about it because it makes you vulnerable to doing something that's outside of your character. And when we do something that's outside of our character, that shows that we're leaning on God and not on ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of times when we think about showing grace, we don't realize that the people that we're having a hard time extending grace to have moved past it. Mm-hmm. And we're the ones holding on to whatever hurt us and allowing our own hurt.
That's right.
We just extended that grace and we said, Lord, take this from me. I'm extending grace to them and I want you to remove any feelings in my heart. Then things for us become a lot better. We feel like a new person. And that's right. We've done our part as a believer to reflect Jesus to somebody else. Even if we feel like they don't deserve it, when we're a reflection of Jesus and his forgiveness, that is our opportunity to bring other people to Christ.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because, I mean, the world doesn't know what grace is. They don't, they're without a hope and they have no clue what grace is. They know about being nice, but grace means nothing to them. You know, they might be nice, but this world is not nice. This world could care less about you, you know? So our behavior should be a reflection of God. It should be our identity. You know, when they see Megan and they see Ashley, they should go, that's grace. You know, that's a trophy of grace from the standpoint of God's, you know, God's grace, but they're also extending grace. You know, I want people to say, well, they can look at my life and go, oh, well, I see God's grace upon her life and God's hand on her life, but I also see her turning around and extending that same grace that she received to somebody else. Because at the end of the day, that's what marks us as a believer. You know, you can wear a t-shirt, you can put a bumper sticker on your car, you can listen to Christian music, you can pray, you can, you know, read your Bible, but at the end of the day, if you don't apply it and they don't see the fruit of the Spirit, if your tree is bare, you know what scripture says, I don't even have to go there. And grace is a huge fruit. I mean, it's not listed as a fruit, but I mean, you look at gentleness, you look at love, you look at patience. I mean, you cannot have patience without some grace, you know?
You can't have self-control without some grace.
Self-control. All of that to me is under the umbrella of grace. You sit and think about it, you know, love, peace, patience. I mean, you can't be at peace and not show grace to people.
That's what we just talked about. You can't hold on to it. You just can't. Yeah. God's not.
And I think we miss that because that is our, the umbrella of grace. It, you know, encompasses, you know, all of that. So,
well, today, October the 5th, is Feather Day for me. It's Isaac's 16th Feather Day. And my picture of my feather, I always said that it's grace personified. You know, it's a tactile proof of God's grace to his children. You know, 16 years ago, we were at his dedication baptism service and that white feather floated down to land at my feet. And that was the moment when I'm like, he cares about us in all things. And he's extending grace to me as a sinner to remind me that he cares about everything I'm going through, that he loves me. And I think that because he showed me grace and he, even in allowing me to keep Isaac the 28 extra days that I was allowed to, that he should not have been living, considering what all we went through. I just feel like how much more in tune I am because of that with how others feel. I can't stand to feel like I've ever hurt anybody's feelings. Mm-hmm. And if I have, I quickly apologize and beg for grace myself. So if I'm one of those people that's begging for grace, how could I not show it? Mm-hmm. You know, do you ever just like snap off at somebody and go, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just did that?
Yeah, I do it to my kids all the time.
And you get that immediate like feeling in the pit of your stomach and you're like, oh, I hope they forgive me. But you never know when somebody else feels that way about you. They're sure. hoping you forgive them. They're hoping you extend grace. They've got that feeling in the pit of their stomach. And then you've got people who could care less, but you need to extend grace for your own health and your own reflection of Jesus.
Yep, that's right.
So there's both types.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think we forget too that, you know, we get grace to help in a time of need. You know, that's what Hebrews says. And I feel like sometimes we forget that we need grace. It's not something that we want. We need it. We have to have it from a salvation standpoint because there's nothing that we can do to earn the favor of God. But we also need it from other people just to coexist and live with them and, you know, just be able to have a testimony and share Jesus. I mean, you know, yeah, we need it from the Lord. And we got to have it from the Lord from a salvation standpoint, but we also need it just from an everyday life standpoint.
Because just like that feather, grace is a gift.
That's right.
It's a gift.
That you do not deserve.
Yes. And nobody deserves it. Nobody honestly deserves to be able to talk to God, but Jesus came, died on the cross. The veil was torn and now we can pray directly to the one who created us. That's right. Grace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we all deserve hell.
We sure do.
And we forget that. We get on our little high horse sometimes. And, you know, we think, and I do believe that we should live, you know, as a believer, I believe that, you know, I feel like sometimes people say, well, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Absolutely. Yes, you are. You are a sinner. But when you accept Jesus, you are no longer a sinner. You have turned your back. Will you sin? Yes. But I don't think you have to sin. I think the Holy Spirit tells you and says, hey, listen, the scripture says, the Holy Spirit will warn you and can, you know, and go, hey, don't do that stupid thing that you want to do, you know? So before we choose not to show grace, I think we have to go, okay, you know, the Holy Spirit's already told you, don't punch them, don't slap them, don't say something that you're going to regret if you're a believer. It's just, we choose to override the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's learning to say, Holy Spirit, you lead me, you guide me, you direct me. Don't let my flesh get in the way for the sake of me feeling like, you know, I'm high and mighty and I'm big and bad. And when we do that, that's when you're walking with Christ and you're showing grace instead of punching faces, you know?
And you know, I think a lot of us get caught up in feeling like we have to be the winner. Like even with me and my chili thing yesterday, I don't have to be the winner. You know, we get.
Yes, you do. Stop. Yes, you do.
Well, we'll see. I still haven't made mine yet, but we don't have to be the winner. Always. Sometimes it's just better to show grace and move on and not have to feel like we won. Some arguments aren't worth the winning. Sometimes it's just better to say, okay, Lord, this should have never been something I was in the first place. So I'm just going to extend the grace. I'm going to move on and I'm going to feel better because I did it. And I'm also going to show someone else what you look like.
Right. That's right. And at the end of the day, it's not about us. Like we said before, it's about him and magnifying him and glorifying him, because at the end, it's not about what makes me happy or what makes you happy or what even makes my husband happy. Yeah, I want to make my kids happy. I want to make my husband happy. But I also, at the end of the day, they don't I don't have to stand before them at the end of my life. I have to stand before God and give an account. And I want him to say, well done. And I think in showing grace, you accomplish that. And you look more like Christ each and every time.
All right. I hope that this helped somebody, and it sure helps me to talk it through and to hear how other people feel about what it means to show grace. Everybody, we still want you to send in ideas. We want to know what you want us to talk about. And you know what would be neat is, I think on our Facebook page, we need to start a little thread for prayer requests too.
Absolutely. I'm down for that.
So we're going to do that for you guys too. And we'll drop another one again next Wednesday. So thanks for hanging out with us. And we hope you learned a little bit about showing grace and not.
I got to go get some supper though. Like, I'm starving. Like, I'm probably going to eat some leftover taco soup or something, maybe, you know, no chili beans, but it's got some beans in it. So
you enjoy your taco soup.
Yes.
We'll go ahead and get started for you guys for prayer requests. And we'll see you again next Wednesday.
We ain't gonna see them. They'll hear us. Well,
you'll hear us again next Wednesday.
Oh man, the life, we have it together. We got it. We got this figured out, don't we?
All right. We're